It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Chicago police confirming that right now Jussie Smollett is in the custody of Chicago police detectives, and Chicago police say their detectives testified yesterday before a grand jury to get these charges approved, as did the Ocean Dario brothers. They testified for 2.5 hours yesterday before the grand jury, and new surveillance video shows the Ocean Dario brothers apparently buying the supplies to carry out this attack, black masks and red hats, with which Jussie Smollett allegedly told them to purchase. Now, the attorney for the Ocean Dario brothers says the brothers did get some type of money from Smollett, but, quote, not in the narrative that's out there. The attorney says the brothers do not have a plea deal or immunity. They were cooperating because they wanted to reveal their truth. The brothers' attorney also praises Chicago police.
When I say that the police spent countless man hours trying to piece this together, I mean that. I absolutely mean that. When I say that my clients spent countless hours getting their story out there to the police so that they could do their work, I mean that too.
Smollett's attorney released a statement reading, quote, like any other citizen, Mr. Smollett enjoys the presumption of innocence, particularly when there has been an investigation like this one where information, both true and false, has been repeatedly leaked. Given these circumstances, we intend to conduct a thorough investigation to mount an aggressive defense. Right now, the attorney for the Ocean Dario brothers says she does not expect her clients to be charged.
Sandy Rios with you. That was Matt Finn. That just happened this morning. So Jussie Smollett is in custody of the Chicago police. The thing that struck me when Matt was giving that report, did you catch that phrase that the Nigerian brothers have told their truth? They've told their truth, not necessarily the truth, but their truth. Then he goes on to talk about truth. Do you see how convoluted things have become, as though we each have our own truth? You know, that's truth is truth. I just have to jump in and say that's not the point of me playing that. I have more to say about this, but I just have to make the point that truth is what comports with reality, and it is immovable and unshakable. We may have varying views of things. That's different than what is truth. So I'm assuming that when they showed video and confessed that they were the ones that bought the noose that hung around Jussie's neck, and when they bought the Make America Great Again caps caught on video, that was actually truth, not just their truth. But it's just a stunning kind of story. And I told you yesterday that Jussie Smollett is very close to the Obamas. His sisters were spokespersons for them, very close to them. A video of Jussie dancing with Michelle Obama went viral just this past year. And you can see that, I think, on our Facebook page. I asked Adam to post that yesterday. So just to remind you of this fraud, Jussie Smollett on Valentine's Day said this, I believe, on ABC. Let's listen.
He said, this MAGA country punches me right in the face. So I punched it back. I noticed the rope around my neck and I started screaming.
Why did you hesitate to call the police?
There's a level of pride there. As a gay man, you were considered somehow to be weak, and I'm not weak.
Yeah, well, you're a liar, Jussie. That's what you are. And this is just amazing. And it's amazing how acceptable this is. And so I shared with you two different lists yesterday. I didn't name all the incidences, but two different lists that were already compiled. Daily Caller did one, and another outlet did another, of incident after incident where there was a fraud perpetrated on police or authorities. Most of them racist, hate crimes, alleged. And also, you know, often, more often than not, implicating Trump supporters. It really has been amazing. And it's amazing how Trump supporters have been attacked. In fact, I should just play, I should pause and play Maxine Waters at a protest just, I think, yesterday or day before. This is clip 8. Let's listen.
This president is trying to keep a campaign promise to all of those people that he swore he would build a wall. And those people who want the wall are not patriots. Not people who love this country. They're not people who stand up for what's right. And so we've got to resist this president and this so-called fake president. Stop this fake president.
Stop this fake president.
Stop this fake president.
You guys have been cussing down the whole time. I have no policy. There's a lot of MAGA to catch hell. And they're letting him with the engine maxing wants. Look at that.
All right, so what's happening there is that there is a Trump supporter in the crowd with a Make America Great Again hat, and they turn on him, and you see it in the video. We didn't have time. You can't tell by the audio. But Maxine was saying, you know, people that support building the wall, they're not patriotic. They don't love this country. And so you see, I mean, that's one of the kindest things, criticisms I've heard. So, hate crimes. I just want to give you another list. This came out from the Daily Signal. That's an outlet of Heritage this morning. Just an idea further. I mean, there are even more on this list than I had seen before. A Muslim woman at the University of Michigan received national attention from national outlets like the Washington Post in November 2016 after she claimed a drunk 20-something man threatened to light her on fire if she didn't remove her hijab. Turned out to be completely false. Taylor Volk, an openly bisexual senior at North Park University, claimed to be the target of hateful notes and emails following Trump's election. She told NBC News, "I just want them to stop." And turns out she fabricated the whole thing. A Philadelphia woman, Ashley Boyer, claimed that she was harassed at a gas station by white Trump-supporting males, one of whom pulled a weapon on her. She claimed that they talked about the election. They'd glad they didn't have to deal with the N-word with an S on it much longer. Then, of course, her account was totally false. Not of course. I guess this could happen, but it's not happening as far as I can see. It's all happening the other way. These fabrications, it's like hysteria, but it's like mob rule. It has been pretty frightening. An 18-year-old Muslim woman in Louisiana claimed in November 2016 that two white men, one of whom was wearing a Trump hat, attacked and robbed her, taking her wallet and hijab while yelling racial slurs. She made the whole thing up. I told you about the church organist, the gay organist who he was found responsible for spray painting his own church with a swastika and an anti-gay slur and the words Heil Trump. In Denton, Texas, David Williams set his own car on fire, painted the N-word lovers on his home's garage, staged a hate crime, and then collected more than $5,000 from Good Samaritans via a GoFundMe page for a hoax that was exposed. Students at St. Olaf College in Minnesota staged protests and boycotted classes in May 2017 after racist notes targeting black students were found around campus, earning coverage in national media like the Washington Post. It later came out that a black student was responsible for the racist notes. And then there was the Air Force Academy. And there's just such a long list of them. It's 19 listed hate crimes in the Trump era that were hoaxes or different than the media suggested, and we'll put that article on our Facebook page so that you can see it. And here's the thing. When it comes to black and white relationships, I don't think anyone denies there's real racism. I said to you before, in my personal life and surroundings, I don't see it. I think we've come such a long way, baby, such a long way. And I think black and white Americans have learned to live together, enjoy each other, have friendships. So that's my experience, but obviously that's not the narrative of a lot of people. And so there is real racism, but real racism then cannot be exposed when you've got all of these lies. This is like, you know, yelling fire when there's no fire. And you have to reserve those accusations for the real thing. And that's what one of the reasons this is so very dangerous, besides which it targets people that are innocent or makes up stories. This is insidious. And it really has to stop. And you know, actually, some of it might stop because I told you yesterday that Nicholas Sandman, who was that junior from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky, who was singled out as something horrible in that video when he was standing nose to nose with Nathan, the Native American Indian, who was there at the Nicholas was at the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. He was one of thousands of students, he and his fellow Catholic boy school buddies. And so Nathan was there for some Native American march, and you have to know that these marches were scheduled concurrent with the Right to Life march for a purpose, to cause trouble, to distract. And I think, honestly, I think if you knew the truth about this, it was staged. And so they made Nicholas, this junior, this young boy, the boogeyman. He was racist. The boys yelled, hate speech at the Indians and at the blacks, black Africans who were standing there. Actually, the truth is, on the video, we saw that the black protesters were the ones hurling racist slurs. And I could go on and on about that, but let me just remind you, because I think this is important to repeat, that there is a lawsuit now against the Washington Post for $250 million. And the reason that Nicholas Sandman and his attorneys chose that is because that's what Jeff Bezos paid for the Washington Post. The Washington Post was all over this story. They probably slandered Nicholas as much as anyone. And remember that the attorneys gave a warning to these public entities and public persons who came after Nicholas and defamed him. He demanded an apology, the attorneys did, and when it didn't come forthwith, they are saying this is the first suit. This is the first one, but it is not the last. And this is the wording on the lawsuit. The Post wrongfully targeted and bullied Nicholas because he was the white Catholic student wearing a red Make America Great Again souvenir cap on a school field trip to the January 18th March for Life in Washington, when he was unexpectedly and suddenly confronted by Nathan Phillips, a known Native American activist who beat a drum and sang loudly within inches of his face. The Post ignored basic journalistic standards because it wanted to advance its well-known and easily documented biased agenda against President Donald J. Trump by impugning individuals perceived to be supporters of the president. I think this is pretty incredible. I just do, and I think it may have some legs. I can't see how the Post really can defend themselves. They've gotten away with so much, not just the Post, but the media has gotten away with so much false reporting and not having sources, and then, citing anonymous sources when there may not even be any. And they've made stuff up from whole cloth, and it may be paid through this lawsuit, and we may be seeing some of this. We'll see how they handle Jussie Smollett, I have to get used to that, Jussie, not Jesse. All right, so that's the update on that. Where does the time go? Let me do this. Let me just tell you about a couple of events coming up. There will be an In God We Trust town hall for the American Family Association on February the 28th in Fayetteville, that's North Carolina, I'm pretty sure. Sorry. You guys check that out. It's threw me when it said Fayetteville and not the state, but I think it's Fayetteville, North Carolina. Thank you very much. It's at the DoubleTree at Fayetteville, and it's February the 28th, so it's coming right up. It's at 6:30 to 8:30, and by the way, the speakers will be Brian Fisher and Ed Vitaliano, and that will be great. So for those of you nearby, you'll want to make reservations. They can only take 500. Go to afa.net/Fayetteville, afa.net/Fayetteville, and make your reservations. And for those of you that live near Illinois or in the southern to mid part of the state, I'm going to be speaking in Carmi, which is a little town on the southeastern portion of the state of Illinois, Carmi First Baptist Church, this Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And it would be great to see you if you're in driving distance of that. I'll be there at 6 o'clock on Sunday night in Carmi, Illinois. It'll be on our Facebook page just to help you remember that. All right, lots of news. We're going to also open the phone lines. In fact, let's open them now. I've got other news, but I'll get your phone calls in. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
"80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love could save a life.
2018 was the busiest year ever for 8 Days of Hope.
Steve Tiber.
Over 6,000 volunteers descended to Southeast Houston over a three-week period during 8 Days of Hope 14, 15, and 16 and helped over 1,000 families rebuild their homes, all in the name of Jesus. Also, Hurricane Florence hit North Carolina. We had volunteers, leaders, and equipment in New Bern, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. And then, of course, Hurricane Michael striking the panhandle of Florida. We were in Panama City Beach for 5 weeks, loving and serving families who had nowhere to turn. 2019 could even be busier as we plan to go back to some of these same communities to be a glimpse of who Jesus is by using the gifts he's given us to bless those who are looking for a glimmer of hope. Go to 8daysofhope.com, submit your email address, and we'll notify you of our plans in 2019.
American Family Association is pleased to partner with 8 Days of Hope, and you can too. Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Kevin Hassett, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. The Council advises the President on economic policy. With the world's largest economy, U.S. policy decisions can impact the rest of the world. We look for Mr. Hassett to provide guidance to our leadership. Proverbs 19:20 reminds us of the importance of good advice. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless Chairman Hassett with wisdom as he advises our president on economic policy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. The Washington Post may have just met its match. That story coming up.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Attorneys for Covington Catholic High School student Nick Sandman have filed a $250 million lawsuit against the Washington Post. The 16-year-old Kentucky boy was at the center of a national media firestorm, falsely accused of racism during an encounter with a Native American activist and homophobic Black Hebrew Israelites. Nick was unfairly portrayed as the bad guy, and his attorney, Todd McMurtry, tells me the mainstream media is about to pay a price.
But it's really not about the money. It's about money is the message, and money is the way to inflict enough suffering on, you know, a weaponized publication like the Washington Post so that they won't do it again.
Nick's attorney tells me this is just the first of many lawsuits they plan to file against the media and Hollywood celebrities. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Do you still believe the president could be a Russian asset?
I think it's possible. I think that's why we started our investigation, and I'm really anxious to see where Director Mueller concludes that.
Sandy Rios back with you. Andrew McCabe still on his book tour. It's possible. After all of this, and after there being absolutely no proof, none, I mean, this Inspector General, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, no one can find any evidence of any link to President Trump and the Russians in terms of any kind of collusion other than the business that he's in. He's the president and must deal with Russia. In fact, President Trump has been harder on Russia in terms of regulations and rules and dealing with them, tougher with them than Barack Obama ever was, for sure. Remember Barack Obama meeting with Medvedev and saying, you know, I'll have more flexibility after the next election. Wink, wink, nod, nod. That was caught off camera. Yeah, they were great buddies. Remember that Barack Obama's dad was loved Russian studies, and so did Barack Obama's mother. They met in Russian class, his dad and mom, so the story goes. So anyway, that's Andrew McCabe still thinks, you know, it might be possible. And we find out that actually McCabe is admitting now that the investigation into Trump as some sort of Russian agent was based on public information, stuff that you and I already know, things that I've told you over and over again. Whatever we know about some alleged connection is what they know. There was no secret intel. He admits that on television. And so on the heels of that, now we're hearing that Bob Mueller's probe is probably going to be ending like very soon, maybe even next week. And I am told that there's a reason for that. When William Barr has just been confirmed by the Senate, he's taking his position. He is assembling his team. Rod Rosenstein is going to be exiting probably sooner than he thought, not much, but somewhat. And people believe there's a direct correlation between this, William Barr coming in, and the coming to a conclusion of this Mueller probe, which has cost us millions and millions of dollars. And think of the millions and millions of hours that have been spent on covering this and the people's lives that have been ruined. That's the part that, more than the money, it's the ruined lives. When I think of Lieutenant General Flynn and I think of Paul Manafort, who, boy, there was a clip I did not pull, but it was affirming how bad Paul Manafort is. How near, at least according to two people I've heard, how near death he looks. Then we've got Roger Stone, who, I mean, neither of these are necessarily sympathetic characters, but that doesn't mean they deserve this kind of treatment. You think of Jussie Smollett this morning. Did they send 16 members of the squad team to arrest him with guns and MK-47s? What did they do? I don't think so. They waited for him to come and probably turn himself in. This is how bizarre this is. You know, Jussie perpetrated a fraud on the police, it would appear. Lieutenant General Flynn allegedly lied to the FBI. And then, of course, the FBI agents that interviewed him said he didn't lie. So go figure. And that, yet his life has been ruined. He's been bankrupted. He's lost one of his homes. His children have suffered. I can't bear that part. And so when we think about the probe ending or being near its end, just remember that. And I hope that you can feel the same disgust that I do. This has been really and truly, when people say this is the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people in the history of this country, then don't doubt it, because it truly is. All right, there's several things I want to talk to you about, but I am opening the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I want to read a couple of your Facebook posts and emails, and again, thank you. I really appreciate hearing from you. It's delightful, actually, to hear back and hear what you're thinking. But I want to alert you to something, because Jill alerted me to this. She said that in South Dakota, we are fighting a transgender bill in our state legislature, and testimony is to be this Friday. That's tomorrow, February the 22nd. So just those of you in South Dakota, just be aware of that. I can't give out her information, but I bet if you look on our Facebook, this is not Facebook, I bet if you look it up, if you live in South Dakota, you'd be able to see in the newspapers who's opposing this, and you could link with them. I'm sure it's probably not that hard to do, so I'm encouraging you to do that. This is from Carrie. Carrie says, when the case, this is kind of going back in time here, but when the case concerning the Obamacare is really what it was brought before the Supreme Court, and Chief Justice Roberts ruled that the ACA was a tax, did the Obama lawyers argue that it was in fact a tax? And if not, isn't do justices just have leeway to vote and put forth an opinion outside of what was presented by the two sides? And isn't this outside of their constitutional powers? And of course, Carrie, the answer is yes, yes, and yes. Justice Roberts, no, first of all, it's no. The Obama attorneys didn't argue that. Justice Roberts offered that in order to rule on the legislation establishing Obamacare. Yeah, that's why the uproar over what he did. It was amazing. People were shocked, and he has been held in infamy, really, by conservatives ever since, because he made that up. He decided to declare it a tax so that he could rule in favor of it, and that's why the majority opinion by one vote legalized Obamacare. So then Steve asks me, I've heard it said, but cannot substantiate, that terrorists have said they would send in their people through groups at the border. I don't doubt that, but do you know of any links to this information I could send to my doubting family members? Well, there are actually lots of stories about that, Steve, but I'll give you one. This is from The Federalist, and it's called Central American Countries Are Helping Middle Easterners Illegally Enter the United States. And this is dated January of 2019, so it's recent. We'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can access it. But if you maybe you can write it down, you can find that. The Federalist, Central American Countries Are Helping Middle Easterners Illegally Enter the United States. We know that's true. Several sources. Judicial Watch has done a lot of study on this, and Refugee Watch and others. So it's not just one source. It's pretty easy to find. If you forget that, you can Google it. This is from Bobby. We're quite concerned about this bill. And then she quotes an article from Breitbart. The spending bill allows Mexican cartel-connected Texas counties to stop the border wall. And then this is, of course, on the legislation that the president signed last weekend that allows for, what, $1.6 million only, or $1.6 billion for the border wall, which is just a disgraceful amount, really, when you consider what has to be done. And it also provided so many disgraceful provisions. And yet, and I'm going to talk about this more tomorrow, so I'm giving you the cliff notes. Let's just say that almost the entire Republican leadership voted for this bill. I think there's maybe one exception. And I'm going to kind of walk through, if I can, tomorrow who voted for this and post it on our Facebook page so that you can see, because this is outrageous. I'll go back to Bobby's email because she does explain this, or he. I'm sorry, Bobby. I don't know if you're a guy or a gal. If you're from Texas, you could be a girl with the name Bobby. Here's the most telling quote. The bill being presented to President Trump has a stipulation that require the approval of local governments in order to move forward with the construction of any border barriers. However, the three counties where the border barriers were expected to be built are Starr, Hidalgo, and Cameron. Three counties that in less than 20 years have seen five sheriffs and numerous top law enforcement officials sent to prison for receiving bribes from the Mexican Gulf Cartel or other acts of public corruption. Bobby's concerned about this, and he has a right to be, because the bill so hamstrings the president from actually building a wall where it's needed. It's amazing. It prevents him from building any barriers on any public lands, like parks and stuff. Daniel Horowitz wrote that these public lands are like war zones because so many illegal immigrants are flooding across them. So we have a serious problem, and we have been betrayed once again by our legislatures. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it this week when they had prayer on the Senate floor before they voted, praying that the president wouldn't shut down the government. They pray about that. But they don't care about the border. They don't care about you, and they don't care about the drugs coming across. They obviously don't. They don't care. It isn't reaching them. They, as President Trump said, live in homes that are secured. They have guards if necessary. So they don't care about regular Americans, and they have shown that time and time again. And I'm really ticked about this. I have to tell you, I'm really ticked. So that's a little smattering of what's happening in the news this morning. Let's go to the phone lines and just chat and see what's on your mind. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Tom. Good morning, Tom. Well, maybe we won't talk to Tom yet. Let's go to Jeannie and talk in Florida. Good morning, Jeannie. I think we're going to have you guys. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, we got a technical problem. We'll fix it. Just give us a second here. Okay, let's go to Alabama then and talk to Les. Good morning, Les. See, I think it's, there you go. Hey, Les, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Sandy. I wanted to know what you thought about President Trump lumping former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in with swamp rats Rosenstein and McCabe. If you remember, it was Attorney General Sessions that betrayed Trump to allow all of this investigation to begin. He went to a Obama ethics counselor who counseled him that he should recuse himself.
Yeah, so what do I think about the president linking General Sessions with the swamp and McCabe and McCarthy?
Yeah, that's right. I'm from Alabama, and I've watched Senator Sessions, who was a Bush appointee, I think betrayed President Trump as in the role of Attorney General. And I think he's deep state all the way. I think Senator Sessions has proven himself to be deep state.
Well, all right, Les.
You
know what? This is what I would say. And you probably know if you've listened to me that I've known General Sessions for a long time and have actually loved and admired him and defended him many times. This is how I actually really do see it. I think that there's no way that I believe he's part of the deep state. I don't really think so. Remember, he was the first high-profile supporter in the Congress for President Trump. And he was a strong advocate. He went on the campaign trail with him and fought with him. I think that General Sessions is a gentleman and maybe a little naive sometimes. I think listening to the advice that he should recuse himself was terrible. I think he was trying to show how – I was think he was trying to demonstrate his integrity by stepping aside, but it was a fatal mistake. I don't think he should have done it. Then I do think that he – you know, the president went after him so harshly that I think in his humanity he appointed Rod Rosenstein. That was also a mistake. I do think that there's a part of former General Sessions that is part of the swamp in the sense that he's been there such a long time. He is part of the establishment to some degree, but not to the degree that you're accusing him. Because remember how really good he was the lone clarion call on immigration. He stood on that Senate floor hour after hour. Trying to make the Senate do what was right in the area of immigration, illegal immigration, and legal immigration. You know that, right, Les?
Sandy, I think he was a mole that was planted in the Trump campaign by the Never Trumpers. The Bushes, who lead the Never Trumpers. Senator Sessions is loyal to the Bushes. He was appointed by the Bushes. He's been a senior executive service member since 1988. He is deep state. Swamp creature.
Well, swamp is not the same. But swamp is not the same as deep state. A swamp is part. Yeah, and okay. So Les, I can tell you, he is not a shill for the.
He's a mole that was planted.
He's not. No, I can tell you, he's not. I can tell you, I know for a fact personally, and I don't often say this. I know that's not true. I think he's part of the swamp. I know that he's part of the swamp because he's been there too long. But he was not a mole. I can tell you that for a fact. And that's all I can say about it, Les. You just have to trust me or no. You don't have to trust me, but I'm telling you the truth. Okay. Let's go to Tommy in Ohio. Hey, Tommy. Oh, hey, Tommy, hang on. I just looked at the clock and I got to take a break here. So hold on. All of you, we'll be right back. We got the phones fixed and it won't be such a... We'll get you right on there. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Empire actor Jussie Smollett claimed he was viciously attacked in Chicago by Trump supporters. Now, sources say Smollett staged the attack himself. Chicago police raided the home of two persons of interest who turn out to be actors who have worked with Smollett in the past as extras on the Empire show. The police search produced a black face mask, an Empire script, a phone, receipts, a red hat, and bleach. The Chicago Police Department has said if Smollett made a false report, he will be prosecuted for that crime.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian will tell us what he's interested in, and Brian's interested in about everything. There's not a story out there that he does not see through a biblical lens. It's not finding content for the program. It's finding which content would be best for that day.
Focal Point with Brian Fisher, weekdays at 1 Central on AFR.
Brian walks into the studio with a stack of papers ready to tackle the issues of the day.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, the world is our campus. The mission of WBS is to equip shepherds and theologians through transforming graduate theological education. Some seminaries are big box seminaries, manufacturing and marketing pastors. At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we handcraft shepherds and theologians for Christ's church. Wesley Biblical Seminary, life on life formation for Great Commission impact.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. In all the hype, bloviation, and hysteria about global warming, people are forgetting one thing. There is only one source of heat for the entire planet, the sun. There is no other source of heat, period. The moon doesn't generate heat, it's dead, and the stars are much too far away for their heat to get to us. So the sun is it. There's nothing else. In order to do something about global temperatures, we'd have to do something about the sun, which is stupendously impossible. Here's what NASA said in 2010. The sun is the primary forcing of the Earth's climate system. Sunlight drives atmospheric and oceanic circulation patterns. In short, the sun drives almost every aspect of our world's climate system. Now, NASA has since tried to hide this page, but failed. You now know what NASA knows, but didn't want you to find out.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump has begun a long overdue recalibration of the role of Turkey in the NATO alliance. He recently signed into law legislation barring the United States' frontline F-35 fighter aircraft from being delivered to the Turks after they confirmed their purchase of advanced Russian air defenses. The acquisition of the sophisticated S-400 system from an adversary is just the latest example of how the government of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has become an ally no more. Now that it's being cut off from access to our military hardware, will Turkey come back into the fold or become an even bigger problem for Europe and for us? Since the Sharia supremacist Erdogan is determined to reestablish Turkey's imperial Ottoman caliphate, the smart money says he's gone for good. It behooves NATO formally to recognize that reality instead of ignoring and thereby enabling it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you, and delightfully so. It's great to hear from you. So we're going to open the phone lines and hear more what's on your mind this morning. I had just recognized Tommy in Ohio before the break, and he's still with us, I think. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Sandy. Good to be on your show. I listen to you every morning, and I have several questions about what's going on in this government. President Trump has been set up, and there's several reasons I know this. He's been set up by his own people because they told him that if he signs this presidential emergency declaration, that it doesn't matter what's in this spending bill. His authority is going to override anything that's in there. So And you have you noticed who voted for this bill? All the Democrats voted for it, except for the four or five that's running for president.
Yep.
Very suspicious.
Well, you know, the reason, well, I mean, why is that? I mean, that's pretty old, blatant, Tommy. They don't want any money for the border wall, and they're appealing to their leftist base. So I don't know that that's suspicious. It's just pretty overt. But of course, I've got a whole list of who voted. I just haven't had, I was going to get to it tomorrow, but I'll give you an idea. As I said before, almost every member of the leadership in the House and Senate voted for this bill. And that includes McConnell, that includes McCarthy, Scalise, Kathy McMorris Rogers in the House. I mean, it's pretty disgraceful. And yet there were, in the House, you know, there was a respectable number of nays. There were 128 who voted against it. Most of them Freedom Caucus, not all of them, no. But a lot of them were Freedom Caucus members. And then a lot of, I just wouldn't have time to, you know, enumerate 128 names, but I'm going to post that on our Facebook page to see, so people can see how their congressman voted. I honestly believe, I feel so strongly about this, that I think that every single person in the Senate and the House who voted for this bill should be out. That you should put their name, in, like burn it in your mind and make sure they never get elected again from your district or your state. That's how strong I feel about this. I think you said you think, Tommy, that the president was set up. I don't know where you get the idea that he thinks that he can override all the provisions in the bill. Surely you don't mean that. You mean what he can do is he can build a wall because he can find money in other places through the emergency declaration, but not the other provisions.
Right. He was told that, oh, it don't matter what's in this bill. You can build your wall. Your wall's going to get built. Well, then they left a hole in it. I mean, in this valley down there where most of the people are coming in, they're not going to build a wall. That's ridiculous.
It's horrible. Honestly, Tommy, it's a nightmare. I just was in a briefing yesterday. It's the Rio Grande Valley area, and not only are they demanding that local authorities sign off on the building of it, but they're also preventing, like you can't, there are certain kinds of fences you can't build, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. I mean, they are basically hamstringing him in unbelievable ways, and you are right in this regard. There are many entities in the White House who are all about immigration. And this is going to be very controversial, but I would just tell you right up front, Vice President Pence is one of them. And they block him at every turn. I know for a fact that when the Angel Moms were trying to get to the president to get him not to sign this bill last week, that people that you would know blocked them from coming into the White House. And the only reason they were invited in is because the president saw them outside and asked about it. And then there was some embarrassment. And then they invited them in. But by that time, most of the Angel Moms had already left because they were there for like 2 days. And he had two of them come into the office. But again, he still signed the bill a few hours later. But this is the kind of shenanigans that are going on inside the White House. So you are right to some degree, Tommy, to make that observation. He's got people around him that are not giving him a good counsel on this. And it's a travesty for all of us. Nevertheless, he's got at least, the estimates are something like $8 billion that he can access to build the wall, and they've already started in San Diego, you'll be happy to know. A lot of the money that's been allocated to him has just been for repairing existing fences, not building anything new. We just have to keep fighting. We fight, and they're fighting. Heaven knows the first thing the left wants us to do is to give up, and we're not going to do that. So, Tommy, I'll be talking more about this tomorrow on the show, so I hope you'll tune in. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Lance in Alabama. He has a word or two on that border wall. Good morning, Lance.
Yes. I'd kind of like to throw it out there, you know, El Chapo is still alive. He got a life sentence and not death. So I think he's still pulling a lot of strings from jail with money he's provided to some of these politicians to keep those border walls open. So I'll hang up and let you comment on that.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Lance. I'm just scrambling for an article I was going to share with you this morning by by Daniel Horowitz. Daniel does the best writing on this. He's just, he's one of several, but Daniel is just so thorough, and he's like a machine. And the latest article he wrote is about the title is "The Media Willfully Ignores the Connection Between Killer Drugs and Illegal Immigration." And Daniel's talking about the latest kinds of drugs coming across the border and all the deaths. It says, according to Arizona DEA, in fiscal year 2017, they seized 45,940 pills. That number shot up in 2018 to 379,557. And just 3 months into this year is at 123,000. That's for one particular kind of drug. And the deaths that are happening, they're being shipped to the middle part of the United States, to your communities, to kill your children. I don't know what else to say. And yes, it is the cartels, and they have been given free rein by this bill to do what they will. I just don't understand it. I can't understand. They have prayer on the Senate floor that the president not shut down the government because employees might be, you know, not working for a few days and then get their pay later. This is what they pray about. And they don't care about the people being killed in this country or the drugs coming across, killing our children. I really, honestly, this is a serious problem. And that's why I say I'm in the process of trying to think about how to do this. But I, at least for you, for this audience, we're going to post the names of those folks that voted in favor of this bill, and you have to get them out. That means you, wherever you live. I'm realizing, I just got word from Arizona that they are really turning things around in Arizona slowly. They elected Kelly Ward as the head of the Republican. You have to work through the party system because we're a two-party system, and even though you might not want to, you have to right now. And there's no need to fight that battle right now. The Republicans have a good platform on this, and the Democrats don't. They want open borders. If that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. But the Kelly Ward has been working really hard, and they are actually beginning to turn Arizona slowly. And this is, I've told you about Goochland Tea Party in Virginia. I always talk about Goochland because they took hold of their community and made a concerted effort. Many of them got together, and they won local offices and school boards. They were in county board positions, and they really took over, and they were the ones that surprised. They were along with, now they're going to always hate me for not remembering their name, but there's another county neighboring, Henrico. I think it's Henrico. Worked really hard and gave, by surprise, the nation Dave Brat, who was one of the strongest members of Congress on this immigration fight, because they got a hold of their community first. And then they were able to unite people so that they understood and got motivated and worked to elect a really good person. And it had nothing to do with the national parties. That's what you have to sidestep because they are worthless right now, honestly. And they're just worthless. I would not give money to a party right now. I wouldn't, over my dead body, would I give money to either of those parties. So anyway, that's a lot of stuff to say in 1 minute. But let me go back to, let's go to Eric in Texas. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I've been, for the last 3 years, been studying this Venezuela thing and been seeing how the left and right media have been lying about Venezuela and their attempt to overthrow a constitutionally elected government. What do you think?
What do I think about which part you think did I think they're lying? What's your question for me particularly?
Why?
What do I think about Venezuela?
I know. Yes.
Well, my understanding, if you are saying that Maduro is a constitutionally elected president, is that what you're claiming?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, my understanding, Eric, you're asking me. Yeah, my understanding is that there's a provision in their constitution for what's happening now. I can't explain it to you off the top of my hat, but I have read that. That this actually is a part of their democratic structure that they had written in, that in the case of X, they can do Y.
Yeah. So yeah, I know all about that.
So you want Maduro to stay? What do you want them to do?
I want them to keep their duly elected government. I don't want the problem they had prior to Hugo Chavez coming in, where people were starving and making less than $2 a day.
Before Hugo Chavez came in?
Yes.
Eric, that's, oh my gosh. Fact. Okay, so Eric, Eric, what are you reading, for heaven's sake? And let me just ask you, what is your political... Are you a socialist by chance?
They're not socialists.
No, no, I'm asking you. I'm asking... No, they're not socialists?
Traditional American.
Nope. What? Eric, seriously, are you serious? And Eric, are you a socialist by... I mean, would you say that of yourself?
No, I didn't say... I'm not a socialist. I'm a constitutional American, and I believe what's going on is positive. They don't... What they got in their constitution protects the people. That's why people there have guns. They have a right to own guns. We're losing our rights over here.
Eric, in Venezuela? Are you really... What in the world... Okay, I don't understand where you're getting your information, because Venezuela has gone through such incredible inflation. The people have been starving. They can't get medical care. It is an absolute nightmare. And it was the same thing under Chavez. Chavez destroyed their economy.
A lot of people that
probably know more than you do, Eric. I don't mean to insult you, but unless
you're checking the alternative media, you're not getting the truth from the left or right.
All right. Media. Well, I don't know, but I have talked to Venezuelans, and that's the report. I've talked to many Venezuelans, Eric, who would confirm what they're saying. And so I don't know if you've done that, but perhaps you should. We have a very definite difference.
From Venezuela, Sandy.
Pardon?
Came back from vacation. I worked with a guy who's from Venezuela. He came back here from vacation. There's not starvation in that country.
Oh, Eric, oh, please.
That is
okay,
a lie
I'm
by
sorry.
The media.
Eric, your guy must be a Maduro supporter. I don't know how else to explain that, because just not true. We could argue all day, but I'm telling you, you have wrong information on this.
Sorry.
Eric, I got to say goodbye to you, because that's not right. And you send me something. Send me something
You're
that you
lying.
Can validate.
Sandy, stop lying, please. Stop.
All right, Eric. Thank you. I appreciate your advice, but of course I'm not lying. We are in an alternative universe. Eric, honestly, I've talked to so many Venezuelans who have incredible stories. I've talked to at least three, four maybe, and they live there. They know what's going on. You've talked to one guy that you work with, and I suspect he may be a Maduro supporter. He would not be telling you that. So just be very careful who you listen to. Let's go to Tom in Arkansas. You've got the last word, Tom.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was at a blood drive at our church last night, and the person in charge of the blood drive was talking about how little blood supply they have here. And I teach at a couple of universities, and I have students who say that the invisible hand will come in and when we have universal health care and make it all work. And I just wonder where the plasma supply is supposed to come from.
Well, of course, that's an answer I can't give you, Tom. But it is all so much fantasy. I mean, when you talk about this notion of free health care and everybody being provided for, and all the it's not rational. It's the stuff of socialist propaganda. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
I can't imagine that I can't imagine that we're losing this battle. It's also illogical. So just pray. And I love your show. I listen every morning.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. And Eric has a different opinion than you, but Eric, continue to listen. I hope to convince you that I'm actually speaking the truth in as much as I know what's true about things. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.